listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for a very special episode of Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. We have been coming to you live via LA Talk Radio since before podcasting was even a big thing back in April of 2016. And this is going to mark our final episode with LA Talk Radio. So going forward after today's show, you will still be able to continue to find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. Though I want to dedicate this episode to Sam and to everybody at LA Talk Radio who has made this just such an incredible, prolific journey for us. And of course, to all of you who have been listening from wherever it might be, whether it's been on LA Talk Radio or perhaps one of the aforementioned podcasting platforms. It's just such a pleasure that we've been able to be on this journey together. And we look forward to continuing this journey. And of course, today's show is, it's about getting yourself the job, yes, but it's evolved over the years into really finding our purpose, really a 360-degree look at how do we find fulfillment, not just fleeting, but lasting fulfillment in our lives. And today's show has been brought to you by the people at Markham Search. Markham Search is incredible. They offer premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States. So please do continue to keep them in mind if you're looking for a job or if you're a company looking to hire. And so my co-host, you might notice, Brandon Maslin, is missing today, missing in our hearts and spirits, but he sends his love. We are sending him love in return for his training that he has. And today we actually have a special guest, and this was just so apropos. At the last moment, someone who's supposed to join us was unable to. And through a series of miracles, as always happens, I happen to be referred to Gilda Jaffe, who is here with us today. And I want to start off because she is a new friend for me, though we have many mutual acquaintances and friends via HeartMath, which is how we came to be introduced. I'd love to start off by reading to you a little bit from Gilda's bio so that you get a sense of some of her incredible accomplishments and who she is in the world. So Gilda is an executive female coach who works with women worldwide to transform the negative mindsets and fears which hold them back from developing and releasing creative and business potential. Because of her international performance and more than 25 years of teaching and coaching experience, Gilda has helped hundreds of women in the areas of confidence, performance anxiety, negative internal dialogues, imposter syndrome, and the development of executive presence. She received her BM and MM degrees from the Juilliard School of Music in New York, where her principal teachers included Joseph Fuchs, as well as Joel Krusnick and Robert Mann of the Juilliard String Quartet. While in New York, she also studied extensively with Barbara Krakauer, a former student of Ivan Gelimane. She's done many great things, and in fact, during her time, she was traveling around in Europe, including Italy, France, Sweden, Denmark, and many other places. And during her tenure in Sweden as a member of the Swedish Radio Orchestra, she performed and toured frequently throughout Europe, including performances at the London Proms Festival, the Paris Opera, and in Vienna, as well as other places. She is also the author of Dancing with Your Muse, Inner Magic to Release Fear and Embrace Creativity. And one of the reasons that we're having her here today is to piggyback on a prior episode that we just did on how to combat burnout. And one of Gilda's greatest strengths is helping people with dealing with stress and dealing with tension in our lives. And so, Gilda, if you could share how it was on this magical journey that you've been on, that you started off with this incredible, prolific career in music, and then now have transitioned to helping women and to coaching people around the world about how to be more coherent and to release stress and anxiety.
Well, it basically comes from my own difficulties with stress and resilience in my own career. Because as a performer, of course, there's a great deal of that. And being on stage constantly and preparing for performances, preparing for auditions, preparing, had brought out a great deal of anxiety in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of an expert on feeling the anxiety or having felt the anxiety. And that really prompted me, along with all the years of teaching and dealing with my students who were having the same thing in their professional careers, not necessarily music, that it became very important for me to find a way to deal with the stress and anxiety and the burnout, not only that I was feeling, although I didn't have the burnout per se for myself, but for the people that I was working with. And that became a fascinating subject for me, and one which I spent many years trying to find answers for, not only for myself, but for the people that I was working with.
Yeah, I think that no matter who we are, being a human being comes with its share of anxieties and fears. I think for a lot of us, fear can manifest into anxiety. It's one thing if you have a fleeting fear of, oh gosh, is my boss angry with me? Or geez, did I do well in that meeting that I just delivered the, you know, key meeting topic on? And then it kind of morphs into something where it starts to constrict us. And it not only impedes our ability to be creative, it impedes our ability to be self-expressed human beings who are living filled with vitality. And so talk to us a little bit about your journey of how you came to be a heart math trainer and a little bit more about how that plays into some of the work that you're doing. And perhaps we can talk about some of the techniques that you use.
Right. Well, I will mention something that we just discussed a little bit just before the show started. And that is that I was really introduced to heart math through my brother, who had worked with heart math very early on and developed some of the algorithms that they now use in some of their biofeedback instrumentation. And I came to it in the beginning, and then I left it because I was in my 20s. I was very concerned with auditions and conservatory at the very time that I needed to have heart math. But I really came back to it later when I realized that there was this wonderful path which I had been introduced to so early and yet had not walked upon, and began to walk upon this path and developed a relationship with HeartMath and the Institute, and discovered how incredibly beneficial it was for me, not only psychologically, but physiologically as well, and creating a positive cycle in the sense that when your body understands how to change, then your whole system begins to know how to change, and not only in the moment, but over an extended length of time. Mm. So that was something that I began working with musicians and artists, and also with business people, because the problems inherent in both professions, whether you're on stage as a performer or whether you're on stage as a business executive, are extremely similar. And the burnout can become extremely similar. So that is how I came to HeartMath, and that is how I use it now.
Yeah, and I will add on to, for some of you who are wondering, what is HeartMath? I like to imagine that I'm in the listeners' minds and them scratching their heads and saying, what are Jennifer and Gelda speaking about? So I was also introduced to HeartMath, not via your brother, last year via Awake TV Network, who was doing a series with them that I was invited to host. And it's just amazing when I got the privilege and the honor to speak with a lot of the nurses and the firefighters and the police officers, you know, it just really astounded me at the difference that it made, especially during that time last year, during the peak of COVID, of talking to these first responders and how having these tools in their tool belt of tapping in when you are in the most stressful situation that you can imagine to peace and stillness. And it actually led me to speak with my mother and father, who were both first responders, respectively, a firefighter and a nurse. And it led me to talk to them. And they said, yeah, you know, we used to go through a lot of that training because, God forbid, you lose a patient. Or in my dad's case, you're pulling somebody out of a burning car. You need to have coping tools. And unfortunately, you know, maybe we think of the police officers and firefighters, and yet we don't think of ourselves as the fires that we're putting out in our family lives, in our personal lives, in our business lives. And then we never learn to deal with this. Just before I came on, I was reading an article someone had shared about how 72% of people in technology are planning to resign in the next 3 months because of burnout and stress. And so whether you're a first responder, whether you're working in tech, whether you're a mother, who knows, whatever your occupation, whatever your passion is, this is what's here for you is how to be resilient. So let's talk about that. What does being resilient mean to you, Gilda?
Well, there are two definitions. There's the one that we normally think about in terms of resilience, sort of like that that rubber toy where if you knock it over, it comes right back up. Some people think of that as a type of resilience where if something happens, you're able to recuperate from it quickly. And that is one type of resilience. But the better part of resilience is preparing yourself in such a way that you don't reach a point of exhaustion and burnout. So you've primed yourself not to go to the edge where you are going to have bad physiological and psychological repercussions. Resilience is preparing yourself in advance for stress and adversity before a situation may happen, when you're in the middle of a situation, or again, after you have come through a difficult situation. So resilience really covers those three aspects. Most important being to prevent yourself from going down the rabbit hole of exhaustion and burnout. That's really resilience in a different way rather than just recuperating.
Yeah, I always like to say that, you know, no matter what you want to call it, life, the universe, however you want to frame it for yourself, it kind of like lightly taps us sometimes. It's like, hi, Jennifer. Hi, Gilda. You know, this might not be good for you. And you say, nah, you know, I got this. I've been doing this. I'm just going to drink some more coffee, some more Red Bull, and I'm going to handle it, right? Like, that's us. We are handling life. And then life says, about that, smack. You know, life kind of gives you a little fist slap, a punch in the face, knocks your legs out from under you and says, how about you pause now? And then you say, oh, no, life, it's okay. I'm just gonna grab a crutch and keep going and drink more coffee and I'll be okay. And eventually, you know, we get knocked out, straight up knocked out by life sometimes. And so let's talk about, this is why I'm such a huge advocate and so happy you were able to come on today, Gilda, to talk about this, of the tools that HeartMath provides. Talk to me maybe about one or two of your favorite resilience tools so that, like you said, we can be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our resilience capacity.
Well, I think the most important thing to realize, first of all, about HeartMath before we even talk about tools, is that the aspect of HeartMath has to do with feeling rather than thought. Because most of the time we spend in our heads, and that can be very good for some situations, but it is not good for others. So we need to come down into our bodies and to teach our bodies physiological tools, because it is the body that actually gives, or rather the heart, that actually gives more information to the brain than the brain gives to the heart. So HeartMath's tools focus upon the area of the heart and the heart itself, and how we can teach it to respond, or rather have the body respond in a certain way physiologically to the feelings that we are creating with our within our body. And then that gives very different information to the brain, so the brain can make better decisions. So having said that, the tools that HeartMath uses are those which have to do basically with creating deep and profound feelings within our body. And we do that by entering the area of the heart and using emotions to stimulate our chemical responses. That sounds very dry and cut, but emotions are not dry and cut. They actually affect us very deeply. So when we go into our heart area, for example, and have a feeling of compassion or love or gratitude, which is a very large one, we actually change what is happening physiologically in our bodies. The same way that negative emotions will also change things within our bodies, but we don't do those on purpose because we feel terrible. And that leads us to the very burnout and lack of resilience that we are trying to move away from. So the HeartMath tools are to build us not only in the moment, but to set us up in our bodies for long-term results. And that's what we do with the HeartMath. The first tool I would say to be using would be to have a relationship with that part of your body that we never think about. which is our heart. That's where I would begin.
So I, again, I like to tap into the energy of kind of what people are thinking as they're listening to this. And I hear kind of the thoughts overwhelmingly that people are saying, how can I have a feeling of love or gratitude when I just punch somebody or I'm frustrated or I'm angry? And so there's this juxtaposition. Yeah, in theory, you and Jennifer are having this esoteric conversation about connecting to the heart. But in practice, how do you make that transition from one of anger or fear to one of gratitude or love?
That is a great question. And it's a very important question. And the way one does it is not to go from one gear to another. You cannot go straight from anger into love. Of course, it's not possible. If you're driving a car and you do the, and you go from first to third without going through any other gear, you're going to have a problem. So when you're in the middle of a very stressful situation like that, obviously we can't go straight to love, but we can go straight to neutral, which is a place of pulling back and taking a pause. So you're not necessarily feeling love for that person or for you, but you can pull back and take a pause within yourself to bring yourself away from the swirling emotions that you're feeling at that moment to a place where you can make a better decision in that moment. And later on, you can try to go to another emotional context within yourself. But if you think at least of putting a pause, a pullback, a place of somewhat neutral within yourself so that your heart isn't pounding, so that the wrong words are not going to come to your lips, so that your blood pressure isn't rising. All of these things, when brought back to neutral in that situation, are going to help you. And later on, you can bring yourself to compassion and love and other regenerative emotions.
Mm. It's such a beautiful point that I recommend to anybody. It's so funny that we're talking about this today, Gelda. I just was in a business meeting earlier today with my incredible business partner, who I love and adore. And there was a moment, you know, when you're building a company, there's tension. And as our coaches always tell us, it's good to have tension. That's how spaceships are built. And then there's also tension. And one person has their perspective and another person has their perspective. By the way, I'm sure this has never happened to any of you out there. I'm just saying, as a hypothetical, you can just imagine this with me for a moment. But let's just say two people have opposing points of view on something. And then you start to get into your point of view, not being willing to see the other person's. And we were going through this for about 45 minutes today, and it's almost like laughable when you reflect back on it. And then there was a moment where we both paused. We just paused and we reflected for a moment. We went in from this tension-based interaction to one of just love and appreciation for one another, though it did take both of us just kind of being quiet and pausing for a moment. And then when that happens, it's almost like you have this rainbow, like a yellow brick road rainbow that you can follow that then gives you the access to whatever it is that you need to do next. And so that's why, again, I think it's so important that we apply these techniques. And I think pausing is such a beautiful way to get us to neutral. And it can be challenging. As somebody who was there 3 hours earlier, I am not going to sit here and pretend that it's all fairy dust and unicorns. There are going to be, I would be lying to you. And Gelda would be lying to you too, if just said, boom. However, Gelda, I would love your feedback on this. What I've noticed is the more you practice heart math, meditation, breathing techniques, or even just the act of pausing, the greater we're able to shift quicker. And instead of being, you know, defensive for months or years or decades, you know, we're able to dissolve that tension or that divisiveness into moments or minutes instead.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And it isn't all rainbows and unicorns. And anybody that says that, of course, is just ridiculous. But what you're saying that is really, really true and very powerful is that the more you practice this, and that means 5 minutes here and there every day or more, as much as you can think about it. I often tell people just to do it while you're brushing your teeth, do it with anything, just do it. The more it becomes something that you slip into more easily because you are teaching your body what to do so that when you get into a situation that is extremely uncomfortable, the body, when you do this technique or whichever technique that you choose, the body recognizes, oh yes, I've done this every day at home or wherever. I know what to do now. Whereas if you don't practice them, then the body says, well, I can't do this. I'm in the middle of an argument. I don't know what to do, and I feel terrible. So it's the actual practicing which makes the body say, oh, I know what to do. Yes, I can pull back. This is easy. I recognize this new feeling. I know what to do. And one other thing which I found very helpful, not necessarily to do with heart math, but with another kind of thinking, is that when you're having a really horrible argument with somebody, or the tension level is very high, it helps to stop thinking about that person as the physical person in front of you who is just making you hit your head against the wall. It helps to think of the higher being that they are behind that physical body. Mm. And when you start relating to their higher self, you begin to have a different feeling in yourself about the person in front of you, because you're speaking to what they're capable of being rather than where they are at the moment. And that really helps you to have a sweeter, kinder relationship in that moment with the person. It's not always easy, but it does help. I can tell you that it helps from my own experience. And that plus the heart math, the actual practice of that every day, so that it becomes absolutely normal for you to slip into, like a comfortable pair of shoes, will make the difference in your life between taking your high blood pressure meds and maybe being able to get off them because of what you're training your body to do. Now, I'm not saying you should ever get off medication at all. But what I am saying is that you can teach yourself to, when you're in a particularly difficult situation, you can teach yourself to back off and to have a better reaction in your own body.
I love how synchronistic this is. This is going to go down. So a thought leader I interviewed lately, Todd Ovakaitis, was saying, you know, make notes every day of moments of synchronicity and just acknowledge them. And then that's how you start to notice your own flow. And I love what you just shared, Gilda. It was so perfect. That is exactly what I did when I paused, was I talked to my business partner's higher self. I went in, it was a technique similar to heart math and something the Kabbalists teach, where I just paused and I went in for my heart and I said, you know, what do you need? How can I support you? Not verbally, but just from my heart, like, what do you need right now? And I heard that she just needed to be honored and to be heard, that she wasn't being heard, and to apologize. And I was able in that moment to shift, and it did take a minute or two. But when you're talking, you're less coming from your head and you're more coming from your heart, your higher self, their higher self. Our head is all ego, and we're like that seagull from Nemo, mine, mine, mine. You know, and then all of a sudden we shift. And then when we drop out of the head and into the heart, that's where this beautiful space opens up. And it's from space that we can create. That's where our creativity comes from.
Absolutely. You know, when you listen to your heart, and I don't mean that, and we don't mean that in a romantic sense, but when you listen to the wisdom of the heart, it is never wrong. You may not agree with it. There have been many times where my heart has said one thing and I say, no, 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 I want to do this and that or whatever it is. And if I follow what I want to do, I never get the result that I had hoped for. If I had the result that I would have gotten if I had listened to the wisdom of my heart, because we know when that wisdom is correct. It's a question of whether we choose to follow it or not.
So true. It is absolutely so true. And so let's go back, because now we've taken people through a little bit of a process here of how we can be resilient. So what you're saying, to repeat it back, is that every day practice kind of feeling in your heart an emotion, I believe you said, like love or gratitude. And when you do that proactively, it's going to give you greater strength to pause, to get back to neutral, and then to drop back into that emotion and move out of an emotion of anger. Is that correct?
Yes. And there's a reason. It's not just that we feel thoughts and all of a sudden life is great. When you feel an emotion, whether it's positive or negative, you are actually changing the chemicals that are within your body. When you feel gratitude, you actually get what is called the vitality hormone working overtime. Things change in your body. And when you're feeling anger and hatred and disgust and resentment and all those other negative emotions, which keep you up at night, you may not realize that there are chemical things happening, but there are. So when you practice over and over and over, you are changing not only your feelings, but you're changing your body. And that is what is the important part of HeartMath in helping you with resilience, that you have a tool that not only makes you feel good over the long term, because things are really truly happening in your body, but you have a tool which can bring you away from an emotional fire and keep you safe in a deadly situation, whether it's a first responder or something else.
Yeah, or dealing with something, an upset at work. You reminded me of one of my favorite yoga teachers. She's so amazing. Lee Brown has been doing online Zoom yoga classes 3 times a week for the last 2 years now almost. And she'll always say, you'll be right in the middle of like an awkward pose. And she'll be like, smile, just smile. Like, and you're like, I can't breathe. I'm not going to smile right now. Although I say that because when you smile, it does, it releases, it changes the energy of your body. And sometimes smile even when you don't want to smile. Practice feeling love when you feel like you can't feel love. Or one of my favorite techniques to share with people is I've struggled with depression, especially when I was younger. And I wish someone would have told me this back when it was really at its peak for me, is share. Do an act of kindness. It could be sharing a smile. It could be sharing a kind word, opening a door for someone. And when we get outside of ourselves, that's where we begin to open our closed heart and be able to have access to more serotonin, dopamine, greater emotions that bring us happiness just at a natural level, waking up that you're like, oh, wow, I get another day. How does it get better than this?
Right. And it's really true that human beings are meant to be open. And when we are open and when we do share and when we do listen, when we do feel, and when we are, excuse me.
Bless you.
When we are, thank you. When we are heard by others and when we listen to others, that is part of our humanity. And the smiling also is very important because the very physical act of smiling does tell your brain something in the physical movements of your face. It gives it a message. So that is another reason to smile more, because good things happen when you smile, not only in the outer world, but in your inner world and in your inner body.
Yeah, I'm laughing as I remember there was a talk I gave earlier this year about the movie Raya and the Last Dragon. By any chance, did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Oh, such a beautiful movie. And the whole point is this young woman is on a hero's journey trying to restore crystal that everybody's fighting over. And everybody has animosity and enmity towards one another. And it's about her own journey of learning to how do you have love and compassion for somebody who you loathe and hate and caused you and your family harm. And it's just a beautiful, I diverge for a moment, because it's stories like that. Sometimes we have to get out of our own heads, whether it's breathing, whether it's watching something that helps us to think differently, taking a training or class, working with a coach. All of these things help us to get out of our narrow-minded little perspective of that little box that we're living in. And so do one thing a week at least that helps challenge the way that you think, that helps you, gives what Alison Armstrong taught me is called positive resistance, where you get that positive resistance you need to think about the world in a new way. And so, Jilda, are there any other techniques or recommendations? You've given us so much so far and how to learn how to be resilient, not just in the moment, but on an ongoing basis. Are there any other techniques that you would recommend that people apply in their lives?
Well, there is something that I was thinking of when you were just speaking now, not necessarily to do with HeartMath, but the more new experiences that you can enable yourself to have, the more facets of yourself you begin to find exist. And when you find different facets of yourself and you begin to see that there's more of you than you saw when you just look or see when you look in the mirror, when you see that you are much more in the round you could have dreamed of, more than you thought of, but you're capable of much more than you have thought of. And your resilience comes from the knowledge that you are a being of many different capabilities and talents, and that your life or your career or whatever you're doing is not the only door, it's not the only portal to your own expressivity and creativity. And that in itself, that knowledge, should help you to understand that you do not need to go down one road which will lead to burnout. There are many roads to a life, and there are many roads during a life, and one road does not have to be the only road.
Yes, it's so beautiful. It's when we start to realize that we are multifaceted human beings, like diamonds, and you know, depending on which way the light, proverbial light, is shining on us, you know, you're going to get to see different aspects of yourself. And there's so many great books out there too. If you start to notice that someone at work, if somebody in your life is activating you, they're hitting that trigger, we could choose to be angry and upset and kick that person out of our life, which might be the right choice depending on the circumstance. Or we could also choose to say, is there something in me that I'm seeing in that person? And when we really start to do that, and the more you cultivate and develop self-compassion, self-love, the greater your ability to then look at and kind of peel back the layers and ask, who am I? Who do you want to be known as in the world? My dear friend Arthur Samuel Joseph and I put together a program called Achieve, Reclaim, and Command Your Destiny. And in it, we talk about your persona statement. Arthur just joined us a few weeks ago for the show. And you just want to ask yourself, how do you want to be known in the world? Instead of just walking through the rest of your life and bumping into people and situations, ask yourself, how do you want to be known? And then step into that facet, that version of yourself. So sometimes if you think, I am not a person who can handle this situation, the fact that you just got fired, or that you got a crappy review, or that you got passed up for a promotion, imagine who you could be and who you would be and how that person would act and feel if you were in that situation. So you can always connect to that highest version of yourself.
Absolutely. There are many of us. It's just a question of which one we choose to inhabit at a certain point or day or week or month. But there are many of us, and people should never feel trapped by any stage of life that they're in, because there is always a journey to take and there is always a different destination, and it's up to you to choose.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think we suffer in life because we feel like we don't have a choice. And in that moment, I really saw it clearly for myself when I was in that conversation with my business partner. It was my choice. We could continue doing this. She's going to do whatever she's going to do. And sometimes it's easy to want to point the finger at your boss, at your coworker who didn't do the work, at your significant other, your kids, whomever it might be. And yet, if you realize that they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and your only choice is to respond or react, and reacting is animalistic and driving and just hungry and vicious, and responding is like a higher self. It's that pause, that love, that grace, that compassion. And I invite you to play with that this week. As you go out into your week, play with your ability to be loving. Play with your ability to be kind and compassionate to yourself. And know that you have it in you. If you've ever seen someone else out in the world who is kind, loving, compassionate, graceful, that means that you have that quality within you. And so I invite you to play with that and imagine who you could be if you could be anyone you want this week. So, Gelda, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, coach, on some heart math stuff and diet? Tell us.
I think you've just went out for a bit, but I think you said, tell us where you might find me.
Yes.
I'm hoping that was it. You can find me, or anyone can find me, on performermindset.com and on LinkedIn to get a hold of me or to know more or whatever you want to do in terms of contacting me.
And I'm going to offer, just because people might be listening as they're driving or going places, the correct spelling of your name. So it's Gilda Joffe, G-I-L-D-A, J-O-F-F-E. Sounds like coffee, but spelled with only one E at the end. And so please do check out Gilda and all of the incredible work that she's doing. And I'm so deeply grateful that our mutual friend Sarah had connected us and that you were able to join us last minute. Again, another wonderful synchronicity. And, you know, and that's a fun exercise. If you want, I'm going to share it. It was something from another show I did on Awake TV called Conversations for Consciousness with Dr. Todd Ovakaitis. I invite you to write down at least one moment a day, one thing maybe you're grateful for, one synchronicity, or one moment of awe or wonder. And these are all things that you can do that, as you expand your capacity to embrace love, embrace compassion, and embrace your capacity to be resilient, doing these little exercises just once a day, or if you notice you're frustrated, see if you can find one thing that you appreciate in that moment. And I know for me personally, when I go through my own struggles, it's very, very helpful to just make a little note and jot it down. Just the other day, I was listening to a program from Jean Houston, who's a wonderful, incredible thought leader. And she said all of the greatest imaginers, the greatest inventors of our time, I think she was saying Leonardo da Vinci and perhaps Einstein, that they walk around with little notebooks. And now the cool thing is we have a notebook in our pockets at all time, and just start to write down, you know, reflections, things you're grateful for, ideas, inventions. And when we live in that level of imagination, that level of creativity, we don't need to go out there and we don't need to pound the pavement to find our next job. We just have things work out with grace and ease, and they just come to us in the most effortless ways. So that's my intention for each of you, is that this grace and ease, and especially any struggles that you're going through, that maybe something struck a chord with you, and perhaps you can apply it the next time that you're feeling that pressure, that stress. Be kind, be compassionate to yourself, breathe, and give yourself or whomever else you're in contact with the space to be who you really want to be in that moment. So I'm Jennifer Cahill. It's been such a pleasure to join us today. In case in the new business ever I'm working on, you can actually go online and take our matching quiz at om-heals, om-heals. And we're starting our first matches at the end of this week, and we will send you over 3 energy workers who, much like that, can help you with releasing stuck emotions, stuck energy. And you can do that online. It's free to get matched. And if you choose and you want to book somebody, we would love to have you check it out and with any feedback that you have there. So thank you for joining us. You can find us on iTunes, iHeartMusic, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, sorry, Amazon Music. I combined the two of those. And I just want to finish today by sharing my deepest, deepest gratitude to Sam, to LA Talk Radio, to all of the incredible other hosts on the network. It has been such a privilege and an honor to get to join them every week here on LA Talk Radio. And we're going to definitely miss them and continue to send them lots of great energy for continued success, and deep gratitude to everybody on the network. And thank you for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you on the normal podcast channels after this. Lots of love.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.